Good morning. Good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And, it's the right time to thank Matthias Sangala with the Twilight. And, I hope you gain content. At least you learn one or two things, because it's always very important to make sure that every day you are learning a new thing. And it's also the way that, your brain also need to eat. And, it depends on what are you feeding your brain with. That is what is, very important. So it's the 19th of November, 2025, 10 minutes past the hour of six. And, you are into the aspect of Early Morning Scoop. That is here where we unpack economics and global issues. We look at, issues of international politics, political economy, policy making, and also look at domestic conversations, particularly in line with Namibia, to say whatever is happening around the world, either is in terms of politics, in terms of the economy, in terms of governance, in terms of sport, how can we look at it from the Namibian perspective? What impact are those actions having on the Namibian development? Because at the end of the day, the aim is one. To make sure that when it comes to national developmental priorities, Namibia is able to reach her goals, particularly the Vision 2030, and also to look at to say life will not end in Vision 2030. There is still more years, or there is still eternity. So we need to make sure that we plan not only for the next 5 years, but we also practically implementing those plans, and also learn to say people, we can complain and debate about the past 35 years. There are a lot of good things which have been done, but there are also a lot of things which could have been done better that we should be accountable for. But that should not limit us to plan and think about the future. That's why it's always very important to look at that aspect, to say, what do we have today? What can we do so that we can be able to make sure that what we have done in the past could not be repeated again, instead of regretting, but at least let us learn and see what we can do. So the conversation for today, we're going to look at project management. Why do we have standing projects? What is the impact of delayed project implementation on human development, particularly in the context of Namibia, and what can we do to improve that aspect? And before we go there, it's also very important to realize that it's a Wednesday. It's a Wednesday, and every day, every Wednesday, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you will get a version of the Villager newspaper, your economic paper, to say what do we have in the context of development, what do we have in the context of human development, food security, and also other aspects. So before we go there, let us look at what is happening. What is happening around the world? I think it's quite before we go to Tanzania in terms of news, let us look at the ceasefire plan approved by United Nations Council. It was stated that Gaza ceasefire plan is approved by United Nations Security Council. And, human beings, we are so attracted by trending news. But when things are starting to change, we don't really go and look. But what you need to know, what you need also to look at is that the situation in Gaza Strip is changing. And it has been quite for some times now that Hamas and Israel, they are coming on the table. And it was stated that the United Nations Security Council has approved the U.S. plan for Gaza, making a major diplomatic victory for Washington. The vote endorsed President Donald Trump's 20-point ceasefire plan, which lays out the framework for halting hostilities and rebuilding of Gaza. So there is peace building going on. Is peace building going on? Because after every conflict, there's always an aspect of peace building and also maintaining of peace. But it was stated that the plan from the United States of America, especially through United Nations Security Council, has been approved, especially when it comes to the plan of, you know, peace, maintenance of peace, and also rebuilding of Gaza Strip. And looking at the records, since October 2023, although there has already been conflict between Hamas and also Israel armed force, what have happened, and looking at that background, since October 2023, is an estimation of after Hamas have killed around 200 you know, Israelis. It was stated that the response was so devastating. The response was so devastating that they've seen the killing or the death or the casualty of over 60,000 people. 60,000 people who died. And it's not only 60, it's over 60,000 people. Can go almost 70,000 people who died in Gaza Strip. Buildings were destroyed. Journalists, medical personnel, and all those, you know, people that, Israel has gone beyond, the Geneva Conventions, break all the international laws, and, to avenge what, happened to their people. But it seems like, there is a building of peace, and that is what the world has been looking for, especially when it comes to peace in Gaza, and also to stop the cruelty of the world. And in the history of the world, it is one of the deadliest, you know, a killing of people, apart from the Second World War, inhalation of Jews. But looking at this context, over 65,000 people dying in not more than 3 years. It's quite a very bad thing. And when you look at the report by independent United Nations body, and it comes to the killing of Gaza people, it was stated that, you know, Israel has broken international law and committed crimes against humanity, and they should be held responsible due to what they have done in Gaza. There are some recommendations at an international level. And for now, it's the aspect of building peace, And you also need to know that there is nothing that will last forever. It was looking like an unending war, but at this juncture, they stated that, you know, there is nothing that can last forever, but there is always a way, especially when it comes to building of peace, maintaining of stability, and also preserving of, you know, of resources. So let us look at this news and move forward.
Le plan de cesser le feu en 20 points du président Donald Trump pour la paix à Gaza est approuvé. 15 membres ont voté en faveur de cette.
Yeah, looking at the plan of United Nations Security Council, or looking at the approval of the plan of ceasefire, and also what has been proposed. Let us look at this news. And,
Scott.
With those in favor of the draft resolution, please raise their hand.
The United States wanted the UN Security Council to endorse Donald Trump's 20-point Gaza ceasefire agreement. And that is exactly what the U.S. got.
Today's resolution represents another significant step towards a stable Gaza that will be able to prosper and an environment that will allow Israel to live in security.
Trump made his feelings on the vote clear, saying, "Congratulations to the world on the incredible vote of the United Nations Security Council. This will go down as one of the biggest approvals in the history of the United Nations." Russia and China had reservations, but both decided to abstain and not veto it.
In essence, the Council is giving its blessing to a U.S. initiative on the basis of Washington's promises, giving complete control over the Gaza Strip to the Board of Peace and the ISF, the modalities of which we know nothing about so far.
So what exactly is in the resolution now adopted? It backs the so-called Board of Peace with sweeping legal authority over Gaza governance, including reconstruction and security. The resolution also calls for an international stabilization force, notably not a UN peacekeeping force, to work in consultation with Israel and Egypt to demilitarize Gaza and train a Palestinian police force. The U.S. resolution had wide support from Arab and Muslim countries, including the Palestinian Authority. The mandate for the resolution is nearly 2 years.
Yeah, that is what's happening, especially that side of Gaza. It's quite a development. And a few days, looking at the G20, there are a few days before one of the world anticipated, global summit, especially hosted by South Africa. That is G20, and at the center of that conversation, the center of in the agenda of G20, is climate change, climate finance, and also the aspect of mineral beneficiation and ownership of resources. So it's very interesting to look at that. And for those of you who watch, who are interested in football, who watch Premier Leagues, it's also quite sometimes important to take a break and also look at what is really happening when it's coming to political economy, what is really happening when it's coming to issues of trade, and also to see from the other perspective so that you can learn one or two. It's not always good to feed your mind with one thing, but it's also important to diversify in terms of what you consume so that you can find a balance, because there's always aspect of what you gain long term. It's important to be very happy at that moment. It's also important to fulfill your desire to support a certain team, but in terms of long term, what are you gaining long term, and also what is that you can teach or pass on to your kids and also to your students and everybody who is interested in issues of development. So let us look at Tanzania. It was stated that the president of Tanzania, that is Samia Suluhu Hassan, said on Tuesday that the violence that followed the country's disputed October election could halt access to international funding. Yeah, looking at that aspect, stated that violence who had international fundings, and those were the words of the president of Tanzania. And looking at that background of Tanzania, it's not a new news, but it seems like the president is also indicating that the country is not gaining investors' confidence. That's why she urged officials to focus on raising funds from domestic sources. This is economic challenge already coming out, because remember that after 29 October 2025 elections that have seen Samia Suluhu Hassan gaining power with majority of 98%, and this is also what has also seen various opposition parties coming on the street and also protest, but they were met with live bullets, and the death toll is not yet verified. There is a prediction to say over 1,000 people are killed, and opposition parties are saying it's over that, and there is no clear statistics on how many young people, how many protesters died in that aspect. And there is also something that African or SADC have never seen, especially coming from the leadership of that side of Tanzania, and also start questioning to say the most praised nation in the continent at one point, so the most criticized nation in the continent at this point in time, because it stated that Tanzania remained physically dependent on external financing, with aid still accounting for 23% of government revenue. And this is now declining because, as I have indicated, investors, donors, they don't just come in like that. they look at stability, they look at peace, and also they look at the structure of your governance. So it's very important to look at this news. And just before we go to that news, you must also be able to remember that on Monday, the president, the same president of Tanzania, that is Samia Suluhu, has appointed her daughter and son-in-law to key government positions. And it was stated that her daughter, Wanu Hafiad Ameir, was appointed as a deputy minister of education, while her son-in-law, Mohamed Chengewa, take over the Ministry of Health. So if you have a family issue, you can also say we'll discuss that after cabinet, because the son-in-law is there as a Minister of Health, and also her daughter is Deputy Minister of Education. You know, it's not new in Africa, but it's quite a new, especially it's not new in Africa when it's coming to governance, because we have seen some of the president's kids attaining powers, particularly in the military. But cabinet wise, it's starting to be also something that is questionable, because is your son-in-law the only one who understand medical affairs? And why do you have to appoint everybody? It's your son-in-law and also your daughter to be minister. One is a deputy minister, a minister of health. Now at this juncture, where are you going to draw the lines, especially the line of fairness, and also the line of ethical, to say, do you even have a power to fire your daughter if she has done something when she's a deputy minister? Or can you really hold your son-in-law accountable? And where do we draw the lines? Maybe they are good. Maybe they are effective. Maybe they are the only one. But it's also a matter of question, especially when it comes to democracy in Tanzania, and also in Africa in general, to say, my daughter, this is a post. My son-in-law, this is a post. Imagine if any point in time, the Minister of Education is not there, then the daughter acting as Minister of Education, you have cabinet, you have your whole family there, and maybe you want to keep it closer so that you can watch your family. But is that really going to be the solution to the problems that we have in Africa? Is that really going to be is that in line with what Africans have put on the table? Or is it a coincidence where you meet competency with the relations, but people are still asking questions to say, why do you have to appoint your daughter as a deputy minister of education, and at the same time your son-in-law too? What do you expect next? What do you expect next? Maybe next you can appoint the husband, or maybe next you can appoint even your mother, because it's becoming a family, family affair. But this have been happening those days of kingship and chieftainship, but in the time of democracy, it's also a matter of questioning. Sometimes we must also be thankful when we are comparing our country with other countries, to say some of the things, we have a lot of things that we are doing right in Namibia, in comparison to what is happening with other countries. But for now, let us look at ShopRite. then we move forward.
Gotcha, ready, steady, cook. Ako One Africa TV. Oto yete wano mapanduro. Ko Shoprite, Namibia. Kundan ondan umgana wa no kubiza o shinji mi pumbiwa esku to pumga pesi mo jefuzo landa no kubiza mini mangashi o kramo masirigata no zombu tayo rama original gashi ngeko miro ngombali na hamano no sendo miro kongwe no ngwe ninge o mire to masirigakari no miro ngontano zoma gali ko kujago ripe bread sunflower gashi ngeko miro ngombali na kheri no sendo miro kongwe no ngwe ganja o shinji pesi mo nika jo Christmas o pameno ondan do itali volikazo Shoprite ofendita o sumo miro ngombali na kata soka November o ko Shoprite akuke gotcha ready Steady Cook ako One Africa TV. Oto yete wano mapanduro ko Shoprite, Namibia.
Do you ever wonder why we have so many road rules? Like, don't jaywalk, don't drink and drive, don't drive with underinflated tires, and don't speed. It's because we don't want you to put your life at risk. Don't become a statistic. Don't become a headline. Be a responsible road user. Do the right thing and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. Let us look at that case of Tanzania, especially when the president is concerned, president of Tanzania is concerned about the conflict that have happened, especially post-elections conflict, that she indicated that it will cause also Tanzania to run out of international support, especially funding of, you know, domestic development. And she urged officials to focus on raising funds from domestic sources. But let us look at that news before we look at DRC and also minerals.
Tanzania's President Samia Suluhu Hassan says the violence that followed the country's disputed October election could hurt access to international funding. Speaking as she swore in government ministers on Tuesday, she said what happened had tarnished the country's image and reduced its chances of getting loans. Tanzania remains fiscally dependent on external financing, with aid still accounting for some 23% of government revenue in 2023, although this is declining. The election was marred by 3 days of confrontation between protesters and security forces over the exclusion of Hassan's main challengers. Rights groups, opposition parties, and the United Nations say hundreds of people were likely killed in the clashes, though the government disputes those figures as exaggerated. Hassan was declared the winner with over 97% of the vote. Her new cabinet includes a daughter and son-in-law. African Union observers say the poll failed to meet international democratic standards, but the government has dismissed this, saying the election was fair.
Yeah, you know, those are the results of, you know, using forces. Because look, when you look at democracy in Tanzania, Tanzania has been, you know, a role model to many African countries, including Namibia. And Tanzania played a very crucial role in liberation of Southern Africa and also other African countries, and also championing policies which have seen the establishment of Organization of African Unity and AU. And when you look at the role of Tanzanian diplomats, for example, in the drafting of key documents, either is African Agenda 2063, either is African, Continental Free Trade Area, either is NEPAD, you will be able to see that Tanzania has been a very good example in Africa. But what is happening now is a matter of questioning to say what is really happening, especially under the leadership of, Meme Samia Suluhu. And in recent days, the government of Tanzania has also launched an inquiry to look at what really happened in elections, or post-elections, what really caused the violence, who are, in charge of, causing of those violence. And the president has also released around 100 of people that were arrested, and some of them were charged of high treason. But there is still some who are behind bars, such as Tundu Lissu, that is the head of the main opposition party in Tanzania, that is Chadema. And it seems like Tanzania is also now looking for reconciliation, because the president recently has also indicated, the president of Tanzania recently has also indicated to say, the government of Tanzania is willing to, or is going to look at the constitutional reform in the first 100 days in the office. And, that is some of the development. And, also to say, and I have been asking the question to say, where is SADC in this? Why SADC is very quiet? Where is the chairperson of SADC? Because SADC up to now does not have a political head, and we are yet to see, apart from the functioning of organs due to its system, up to now, Andre Rojarin, who is an instrument of power, is not yet, back to SADC region. It is also to say, no, I'm handing over because now I'm no more a president, or somebody must take over. And what happened in the situation that that of who has power to lead the regional economic body lost power at home, what would happen in that situation? And also, what are some of the new developments? So, let us look at DRC. It was stated that Democratic Republic of Congo has extended a ban on trading of minerals from 38 mining sites in conflict hit north and south of Kivu province. So, you know, it's quite very interesting, because just not a day ago, when I was presenting to you that the government of Democratic Republic of Congo and M23 have signed a peace agreement, have signed a peace agreement in Qatar, but just not days after that, the government of Democratic Republic of Congo has banned the trading of minerals from these mining sites in North and South Kivu province. You need also to understand that when you speak about Kivu province, be able to realize that that is one of the province that is under the control, or that is one of the province that is under the control, or remain contested by militia groups, including M23 rebels, who have expanded their control over that strategic area in recent months. And remember, that is not only M23, that is in DRC, all sort of economic grabbers, all the mercenaries, every opportunist, especially in trading of mines and minerals, or those who have mineral interest, the business is going. The guns are there, and trading is happening, but you just do not understand how this has happened so for quite some time, and how did the government of DRC find it very difficult to take control of the whole territory. But at this juncture, it was indicated that they extend the ban to that to around 38 at the Sanal mining sites, and I do not think this is the right move where the country is busy trying to build peace, because this may also lead to another conflict. Because looking at the decision to prolong restriction of trading with minerals, particularly from that area, will also cause some retaliations, especially from M23. I have indicated to you that it has been indicated by, peace and security experts and also military analysts to say, when you look at the formation, the structure of M23, it's not your ordinary militia. This is a powerful force that is armed, I don't know by who, and there's no clear information to say they're armed by who, but they have up-to-date weapon, they have technical, assistance, they have up-to-date military intelligence, and they made it very difficult for a well-tested army of DRC to maintain it, and ask the peacekeeping mission from SADC. And it's also a powerful force that can force a government to come to the negotiation table. And the question is always to say, to whose interest are this, M23 serving? Is it really M23, or we are just seeing M23, but there is somebody who is benefiting from that? Because at the end of the day, when you look at some of the minerals which are coming from these areas, you know, including tin, tantalum, and tungsten, and it's indicating that these metals are key materials used in electronics, automotive, and also aerospace industries. You know, for you to have a plane moving on air, plane flying on air, for you to have a smartphone such as iPhone, you must be thankful that there is DRC there. But you must also ask yourself to say, are the people of DRC having this iPhone 16? Are the people of DRC having these supercomputers? Because most of the materials that are enabling, most of the materials that are enabling the functionality of these devices are coming from DRC. And the people are dying there, and the country is not yet fully at peace. And it's also a lesson for us to learn from our own country to say, to whose interest are we serving? To whose interest are we serving? Who is the winner in the suffering of our people? To whose interest am I serving? Who is the winner in the suffering of our people? Who is going to benefit if Namibians do not have access to the mining? Who is benefiting if Namibia do not have access to fishing quotas? Who is benefiting if, Namibians do not have well-functioning SOEs which has key strategic resources? Who is benefiting when Namibia does not have a full-time CEO of Namdia? Who is benefiting if the very important SOE in Namibia, such as NAMCO, does not have a full-time MD? Who is benefiting if Namibia is still in a vacuum where the Ministry of Industry, Mines and Energy does not have a full-time minister? And that is a center of resources. And that is what has to be handled very well so that Namibian people can benefit. But in comparison to what's happening in other countries, unhandled mineral resources have caused a lot of unthinkable things. Because at the end of the day, when the big boys are fighting, when the big men of, mineral trade are fighting, those who are suffering are the ordinary people on the ground. So it's not only DRC, it's not only Sudan, it's not only Angola. Is something that need to be handled very well. Is something that people need to study and learn. Not only to say, no, those countries are in war. Those countries are in conflict. Those countries are in corruption. What are the sign of unhandled resources? And one will also be able to understand our president to say, maybe when she said oil and gas are under my control, she think that Namibians, we are not, able to manage resources very well. But that is must be something done from an observation also, to say, no, this one under my control, for the sake of peace and accountability, let me handle this one. Who are we putting there to manage the resources very well? And you are making it very difficult also, or somebody who has a very good vision for the country to say. But yeah, it's a conversation of another day. It's a conversation of another day that we should dive into and also expand more. Before we go to the main conversation for today, especially when we are going to speak about standing projects, incomplete projects, white elephant projects, and also delayed projects. So quite very important to look at Eswatini, that is Swaziland, former Swaziland Eswatini. It was indicating that Eswatini is the first African country to get twice yearly HIV prevention shot. Because remember, the world is developing. The world is developing, and there's always a change in medical research, and there's always a change in how the world is fighting various diseases. But there are also questions to say who are the players in this medical research, and who participate and who benefit from supplying of such medicine, either it's a vaccine, either it's medicinal drugs that can assist with chronic diseases, and also issues of diseases such as or virus such as HIV. It was indicated that Eswatini is the first African country to get twice yearly HIV prevention shot, because in the future there will be no more you know, and I think it's a positive development, in the future there will be no more you know, ARVs in a form of pills, but people will just end up getting injection either once or twice. But remember, this has been happening already, especially to those who have resources and fundings, because there's quite a difference, especially either in Africa and other countries, because when you speak about HIV and AIDS, it's no more a concern in the world. The world is moving so fast, and it's no more a concern, unlike in the early 2000. And unless you are not civilized enough, you will not even see people complain about HIV. Maybe it's, they are complaining about other things. It's not a concern as we are speaking now. But, you know, it's stated that on Tuesday, Eswatini became the first African country to receive lenacapavir, the first twice yearly HIV prevention injection held by global health officials, as a game changer in fight against virus that has killed 10 millions of people across the continent. Yeah, it's a positive development. It's a positive development. So you can have, can now have, you know, twice yearly HIV prevention injection. And it's operating like it's a vaccine. And when you have it, that is your bulletproof. That is your bulletproof. But it's also very important not only to look at injection, also read more and do your research, because, you know, people, when you say this medication can do this, they try to push it to their advantage. That is also very important to go and also do your research and look at what do they mean when they speak about lenacapavir, for example. What do they mean when they speak about an injection, HIV injection prevention? What do they mean? Is it coming to Namibia? Is it coming to other Southern African countries? Who are the companies who are, you know, in charge of manufacturing of this, you know, this injection prevention medication? Who are the companies who are in charge of this, and what are they known for in terms of track records? And was this tested before? Is it only happening in Africa, or it happened in other countries too? What is the contribution of Africans to this medication? And all those sort of things, because there is a tendency which I have seen, and I also debate about with a lot of people, especially regarding medication and drugs, to say, because at one point we were debating about vaccine, to say, no, this thing is the depopulation and all these things, they want to do this, and all the arguments, and I say, what control do you have over any other things that is coming into Namibia? Because if you can only make Panando, not even 100%, the supply of Panando, or every Panando that is in Namibia is made in Namibia, what control do you have over other medication? You can only complain if you say, no, I don't want that vaccine, I don't want that medication because I have alternative. But the complaining of saying, no, people have different intention, that is what a beggar go through. Because if you are in the street begging, and I come with a brown bread, and you say, no, I want a white bread with butter on top of it, you can't do that. You just accept what is there, even if it's giving you problems. That's why you see side effects of many medical drugs that people don't really speak about. because people you do not have control over. You do not have control over because you become a testing ground. That's why it's very important for us, especially Namibians, to invest more in doing what is ours. Because especially in the medical fraternity, let us not only complain about an empty pharmacy. Let us not be shocked and also complain about, no, we don't have enough medication. People are going to, let's think about what else can we do to make sure that we preserve health. I'm always very happy when I come to work. I see some capable Namibians jogging and they are exercising their bodies. Also, one of the measures or one of the mechanism to prolong your life and also to live a happy and healthy life. Somebody argue that you cannot jog in an informal sector with an empty stomach, which I understand, but there is always something that you can do so that you can be fit other than, complaining. And also, there are some things that are within our control. And I'm always very happy for that to say, when you see other people extending, even within a day, extending their health, extending their lifespan with a day or two, by exercising, by meditation and all other medical recommended requirements, which does not require us to use a lot of medication, which is quite a very good thing. But looking at this development is positive, but we also need to be looking at it very careful to say for how long is this, at what cost, because what is very important is also the cost. At what cost is it for free? Who paid for it? Because there is always somebody who paid for something. When you are receiving donations, somebody have paid for that. When you are receiving aid, somebody has paid for that. And you are going to pay for that directly or indirectly. And the fact that you understand that there is nothing for free, then you also should stop of saying, even if I don't have anything, somebody will supply it for me. Because I spoke about yesterday I spoke about toothpicks to say, why do you have to continue buying toothpicks in US? You are buying toothpicks in US dollars. You know that it's a toothpick that you use every day when you're at a restaurant, maybe at home, maybe, at a wedding, at any, event that you have to eat. You are using a toothpick, but you are buying that in US dollars. You are buying that at an international market, a toothpick. Why can't you do that? Then we can elevate the debate from there. So those are the things that we need to look at. But for now, let us look at this news, especially from Eswatini. Eswatini is a country in Southern Africa. It's a country within a country. Most of you know Eswatini as Swaziland. But that is what it is. It's what it is. And let us look at this news, and also look at the conversation for today.
Eswatini on Tuesday became the first African country to receive lenacapavir, the first twice-yearly HIV prevention injection hailed by global health officials as a game-changer in the fight against a virus that has killed tens of millions of people across the continent. Developed by Gilead Sciences, lenacapavir has demonstrated near-total protection in clinical studies. Its rollout, initially planned for 10 high-risk African countries, is part of the U.S. President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, or PEPFAR, in partnership with the Global Fund. By 2027, the initiative aims to benefit at least 2 million people in those countries. Daniel O'Day, Chair and CEO of Gilead Sciences, described the Eswatini rollout as extraordinary because it's the first time in history that a new HIV medicine is reaching a country in sub-Saharan Africa in the same year as approval of the United States. And because Eswatini is the country with the highest incidence of HIV in the world. The U.S. approved the drug in June. The United States, whose deep cuts to foreign aid this year under President Donald Trump have severely impacted Africa's health programs, initially planned to distribute 250,000 doses this year to the 10 countries. Zambia also received its first shipment Tuesday, while Gilead seeks regulatory authority in Botswana, Kenya, Malawi, Namibia, Rwanda, Tanzania, Uganda, and Zimbabwe. that was increased to 325,000 due to early demand signs. Brad Smith, senior advisor for the Bureau of Global Health Security and Diplomacy, told journalists. The U.S. government has noted that over 25 million people across Africa are living with HIV. In Eswatini, a tiny kingdom in southern Africa, about 6,000 high-risk people are set to benefit from the drug's initial rollout, primarily to prevent HIV transmission from mothers to newborns. Home to roughly 1.2 million people, Eswatini currently has over 200,000 people living with HIV, with most receiving treatment funded by PEPFAR, Smith said. Eswatini, the world's last absolute monarchy with a documented record of human rights violations, is also among the African countries participating in Trump's third country deportation program, which has faced protests from rights groups.
Yeah, that is what is happening. That is what is happening. And I want you to take time and also not just take anything that is coming to you without studying it and also analyzing it, because it can be positive, and you must be able to know where does it come from, and at what cost, at what cost. And also, who is paying for that? Are you paying that directly or indirectly? And was it used in the US before, or is only a testing ground in Africa? Does it have side effects? Because the reports are indicating that we are also in that line as Namibia to get that assistance, to get that help. But when you go and dig deep to understand where are these things coming from, or where is this, you know, 2-year injection drug coming from, it was made by Guild Science. It's a biopharmaceutical or pharmaceutical company in United States of America, and it stated that it's approved, or this medication is approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. And yeah, that is from the U.S. And there are also another rollouts in Zambia and also in Namibia. We are in the that process. But the question that we are asking also to say, is it really that they want to assist us, or there is another motive behind that? Because when you look at what the U.S. has done, especially removing assistance in terms of aid, a lot of countries were complaining about that. But now it's coming on the other side also to assist. That is also for government also to look at that and also analyze issues such as what kind of medication is this? Is it good for our people? Is it bad for our people? Was it tested before? Is it only happening in Africa, or is also sent in other countries in the world? Because it's not only in Namibia and in Eswatini that there is HIV and AIDS. It's all over the world. But is this medication tested? Because when you get that, that is where we'll be able also to get clear information and also assist in helping our people and also those who are interested, because getting anything that is coming is also dangerous. But understanding it first and also know its operation, then it's going to be better and can also assist in solutions that is intended to be solved. So let us look at the short commercial break. Then from there, we'll be able to look at the conversation for today. However, you can still communicate with us. You can still give your input in the studio at 083-288-401-083-288-401. So let us look at Imba, and we'll look at the Villager newspaper. Then we'll look at the conversation for today.
Großartige Neuigkeiten. Imba ist jetzt noch besser geworden. Wir haben kampfneue Funktionen hinzugefügt, um dein Erlebnis noch reibungsloser, schneller und leistungsstärker zu machen als je zuvor. Bereit, das volle Potenzial von Imba freizuschalten? Erhalte alle exklusiven Funktionen für nur 36 Namibia-Dollar pro Monat. Oder spare noch mehr mit unserem speziellen Abonnement-Plan. 5% Rabatt bei einem 3-Monats-Abonnement, 10% Rabatt bei einem 6-Monats-Abonnement oder 25% Rabatt bei einem 12-Monats-Abonnement. Wähle den Plan, der am besten zu dir passt und genieße alles, was Imba zu bieten hat, zu einem unschlagbaren Preis. Imba, where the world congregates. Lade es herunter und abonniere noch heute.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than The Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Ipuranenge no wapubwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utete opoe ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu kondado ilinawa nune udo otukwetira o special getashake ngeshefa omarudi tayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ilinawa Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore za timwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile ko berewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. We are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. And yeah, you can call in at 083-288-401-083-288-401. You can call back and give your input. Especially, when it comes to the news, going on. But for now, it's also very important to look at, the Villager newspaper. Let us look at, what do we have on top of the Villager newspaper? What do we have on top of, the Villager newspaper? Because we're always indicating to you that, let us look at the caller. Then we can, have coherence in, our conversation. Good morning.
Yes, Sean.
Yes, how are you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing on this Wednesday?
I know. I'm good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What is your input?
Mm-hmm. You know, the Tanzanian president and the appointment of the daughter and the
son-in-law. It's a good mother-in-law, ne?
from recruitment.
No, because too much love can corrupt a person also.
No, from HR, ne?
Yeah.
Effective. One of the golden rules when it comes to the recruitment and appointment or something.
Yeah.
There is always a golden rule which they tell you that no, don't appoint the person that you cannot fire.
Mm-hmm. But now I was looking for a word, man. How do you call, is it conflict of interest or what? How do you call that thing, that appointment? There was a word I was trying to find and, I don't know where it went this morning, especially in that,
like nepotism.
Nepotism, ne?
No, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the word that you can use is a kind of nepotism.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you are taking those that are close.
So you are saying the daughter cannot be fired?
You cannot appoint the person you cannot fire.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you appoint your friend or your neighbor, can you fire the friend or neighbor?
No, they can also do what they want. No, you can, it's very difficult.
If he's not performing, you can't. Because of that, that relationship.
Yeah.
That is relationship that you see.
And you know, the daughter can even be more powerful than the prime minister.
No. Yes.
Yeah.
Imagine even in a situation where, just imagine how the children of maybe sometimes of the president or the ministers behave when they're as the president.
Mm.
It's like they are mini presidents, ne?
Yeah. And is that fear?
Yeah,
You don't touch.
So those things are united.
Yeah.
Imagine in a country, for instance, like China, where when it comes to corruption and what they kill.
Yeah, I hear you.
Now, do you think in that environment she's going to kill?
You cannot sign that. You can't. No, I hear you.
No, sometimes we don't understand. That's why people are not wrong. We say, no, you can't appoint the one that you cannot fire.
Mm-hmm. Now,
if you not find the person, go to the reason of relationship. How is it? Look, it's like you cannot even kill even in the country. Well, that law, you are not going to be.
Now, my question is that now, how can you appoint?
You are not going to understand.
Yeah. How can you appoint your son-in-law and your daughter at the same time, and they are ministers? How are you going to handle? I don't know how they operate within their cabinet, because ours is only full ministers. But in a situation that you both have all of them and you want a report from them, are you saying, when are you drawing the line to say my daughter or deputy minister of education? Or my son-in-law, or minister of health.
That natural relationship will not, after son and daughter, will not disappear, irrespective of what.
I know that one. I hear you. But in the military, it look like a bit different, right? Because you've seen Kangame, you look at Museveni. It's quite not really coming out, but in a democratic arrangement.
Those things are done by the people who are done. Like, go to Uganda, for instance.
Yeah.
Everything is just seven his family, this, like, the father, the daughter, like that. The son is a what. You always the son to follow. But that is what I have seen within Africans. Africans, they are not really democratic. In terms of this Western flavor, the democracy, they are using it as, because it's a global, a governance system, even to them.
But it's not our thing.
It's not theirs. They are not up to that. They are just using it. Mm-hmm. But because they have been tested,
mm-hmm.
then you see the true color. Look at it, what happened in Tanzania now. Tanzania has been always the sender.
Yeah.
Everything just started there. Even all this liberation struggle that we have seen in Africa, they were wrong.
But they were good for, they were known for good reasons.
Yeah.
They were trading for good reasons.
Just now, when and you must also remember how this lady came on power. Now, when she wanted to grip to power, she resorted to violence. Resort to violence just to protect that. That's the way you see country are no longer going to grow, because Tanzania might start go back to where it came from.
To the 60s.
Yes, it's going back to there. They are going, because if you just, and I think we could have learned a good lesson from Botswana.
Yeah.
Even in that Kabuku nation, why nation failed? The only African country with a good example that was quoted there, Botswana. Only Botswana was quoted in that book.
Yeah.
And you can see why Botswana is different from us, is progressing. Look at Masisi when he was the president.
Yeah.
He thought he has every single the popularity and what. Just when the reality kicked in. What did he do? Have you seen him anymore?
No, but look, I think, I'm looking at him and now he's useful in African Union. He was the head of mission for AU observation mission.
Look, he just go. Why?
The system was.
He has not, because he never created something like a patronage, something there.
You mean this whole.
Friends and families and what, you give everything to yourself corruptly like that.
And the system kick him peacefully. Kick him out.
And nobody's been hunting him. The democracy in Botswana could have been affected slightly by Masisi with Kama.
I see.
Because Kama, he almost created that type of democracy, the African democracy
with African characteristics. Yeah.
And you can see Masisi was now trying. Also hunting him. But you can see Masisi what he did thereafter. He disappeared. Do you think in Botswana, the Botswana themselves, they would agree?
No, they would not.
Because it all of follow the trends.
Yeah, I hear. But Zambia, looking at Zambia?
You go to Zambia, has been always fighting of hunting the former president. You know why? The hand will be always there. Why? Because when you were there, you create a personal system.
You hunted first.
Yeah, you hunted first, and you create yourself a personal system where you own your hand and what are there. Look at what to Lungu.
Even now, he's not buried yet.
Before he did that, what happened? What he did to Hichilema before he came to power?
No, he suffered. I know he was beaten up a lot of times.
And Hichilema tried how many times under that leadership of the guy. Now when the person died,
he left the better on already.
Hichilema was left with no reason, but even to remove that immunity from him. Because he doesn't say, look, when we are the president, no longer participate in politics.
But it's really not a good thing, because it started a long time. Even KK, I think, was jailed at some point. The former jail, the sitting jail, the former, and all these things.
The only thing just to say, when you are no longer president, when your 10 years expired, you must go retirement.
Yeah.
If you want to come back, that immunity is no longer there.
Just hold on for...
Time for the big visit back home this festive, and the funds are low. Take control with Express Credit. Tick off your wish list. Visit expresscredit.com.na or call 9500-500. Same day approval. Easy loans from 3,000 to 32,000.
Yeah, let's continue. I want your view also on Eswatini, especially in this new medication which came out, HIV prevention injection. What do you think about this?
My friend, I already said it once.
Yeah.
I don't know whether here or where, but I said there's nothing good. I only trusted the Western with technology like this we are using. But when it comes to food,
yeah,
and also it comes to a social issue, no. Because they teach opposite.
Mm-hmm.
When you believe in Kalunga Kanangobe, they say you must believe in
the Christ.
Kalunga ka bishaka no ka Abraham.
Israel.
When we believe in extended family, they want you to believe in nuclear family.
When you believe in polygamy.
When you believe in polygamy, they want you to believe that. When you believe that only a woman.
Yeah.
Men can, a woman and a man can marry. They say not even men can marry each other. you believe in organic food.
You
must GMO.
But they are eating organic now. Why we are eating this GMO?
Now they feed us with organic. Why GMO? Why they are eating organic? Because they don't want us to be healthy. You see, when we believe, when we have a system where we don't have jails, just imagine a complete society where our forefathers live without a jail. Now we have jails. The prisoner have water, what electricity and everything. They eat three times a day, what. But a person, the law-abiding citizen, is there without those rations.
No, it's even go 3 days without eating anything.
And
I also have a problem to say, how come you have people with capability? We know they have done something wrong, but can their skill not be utilized when you compare with other countries? They are using their prisoners for good.
No.
When
you go to the tennis, you know, it's how the system was designed. Do you know that the Chinese have two things to say? They have treason, they have crime. Treason is a wrong against the state. Crime is both wrong against the state and also wrong against the person.
Yeah.
But now, if I steal your phone now, right now, there.
Come again?
If I steal your phone now.
Yeah.
Did I wrong? Whom did I wrong?
It's me.
I wrong you. Therefore, the state has no interest there. No direct interest. If I steal your $100 now, I only steal from you, and the people who are going to suffer is you immediately and the family. It's not public. But when I steal from the public, I steal from who? The state. Then the state is now, you know what they do? They say, look, they arrest me. They put me in that jail of whatever while we are resolving these things. If I agree to pay your phone, to give your phone back, I'm free to go.
You can go home, yeah.
But while we are resolving it, they put in prison, they have to use you as a labor.
You are working for the state again. You are still working.
You will not be sitting there in the prison, sitting, doing nothing.
Whose food are you eating?
Whose food is you eating?
Yeah. Because I think it's one criminologist gave, it's an African, I cannot get the name, gave an example to say, South African criminologist said, look, the mother lost his son shot by somebody, then the person will get arrested. But the same mother who is mourning is still paying tax, is still paying food for that person. And when you are comparing it, you say, no, it's true, man. is still, you know, paying for the food that, that the person who killed his son is eating.
Because you need to sit from that angle to say, look, if I kill you now, you are the breadwinner.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Who is the immediate loss there?
The family.
Is the family.
Yeah.
So now, if it happened like that now, that wrong? Is it a wrong against the state or the government?
Yeah, it's both, because I'm also,
It's both when, you know, for the government, the state is not directly there.
Yeah.
If you order a group of people to be killed, now you wrong the state like that.
Mm-hmm.
The state is there. But if we just have a disagreement, we fight and what, and I kill you, whether I was wrong or then I just kill you.
Yeah.
Who is going to lose?
That is definitely the,
That's why there, Moshiwambo, I have to combat this.
Yeah.
Whether this person was wrong or not, you have to pay. That is where you see the Ankucha. Now, the state come in, they arrest you. You only end up paying bail to the state.
Yeah.
Then everything go. Barangoto
monoposhi. The person is nothing.
Nothing. You are getting nothing.
Yeah,
example to say, there was a guy, maybe they also withheld the name of the child. He was the son of a certain president in Africa there. He went to study in China.
Yeah.
You know, they have all the privilege, they have the money, then he find also a Chinese friend.
Yeah.
Then they go in the car, maybe they go in the club and they drink.
Now
this one decided to drive
the
car Chinese. Then all of a sudden they get accident, they die. The Chinese die. You know what happened there? They, because there is only the family. The state is not there. The state only come in to pick you up and put you in prison. While the family resolve the matter. Because the Chinese is like, the family pump every money investment in the child so that the child can look after
the family.
Yes. Imagine all whatever they have spent, they have to disappear now. Then there's no, for him to be released, let him pay 100 million RMB.
Serious?
That's what they say. He's still in prison. He said he cannot pay that money.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that is just there. It will not go there. Until you the family.
You resolve that matter.
Oh, yeah, I'm on the wrong. So, Karong, you don't have there's nothing there.
So now let's come back to this medication. Is it going to be, what do you think is the intention? Because at first, the US has already pulled out their aid, especially with USAID and all these things. But now this one is also coming now back to Africa with a different, medication.
On the Chinese criminality to send, they always said who was they don't see which law was broken. They said, who was hurt?
Okay.
It doesn't matter whether I was wrong, but they said, who was hurt? It's who? Hurt by who? Then from there, they take it from there. They never, the law which was broken, come once, second. But as we have, which law was broken?
As we spend the days in the criminal court debating on an act where things are not moving.
That's why you see our cases are still standing there on a legality because a certain rules were not followed. Procedure. With them, their law go directly to the issue.
Inspecting
any process, whether it was followed or not, to say, look, and their system is almost like our tradition in terms of to say, if I steal your cow, then to find my inwe omarengano.
Everything
goes to the government. That's why government is making money now.
From crimes also.
Yes. Government is the one who making money out of those crimes. Therefore, the government is happy when the crime is going up because they are making money. So on the edge, that I said that if you have read the history of Mbeki, why he lost presidency at some time.
Yeah.
Because he was refusing those.
So Mbeki was not refusing the existence of HIV. It was a narrative. He was refusing the medication.
HIV comes in. Because Mbeki was saying the reason why HIV was going up, it was an issue of poverty.
Oh, okay.
An issue of poverty because these young kids, they want to sleep, what to be given money and what this prostitution. That was the standpoint of Mbeki.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when they were like that, because Mbeki, when we talk of Thabo Mbeki, we must, that is the true economist.
No, I know. I think he's a master in economics. Yeah.
Even if he get that knowledge from Western education.
No, he's an intellectual.
He's a tradition person.
Yeah, no, he's an intellectual. Yeah.
It's an intellectual person.
Yeah.
And he was trying to push for a reform to grow economy. He eradicated poverty. To such extent, he challenged this guy to say, look, if HIV is like that, can not give us now the formula how this thing, because he was challenging also the concept of HIV itself.
Yeah.
The virus itself, how it came about. Then the Western say, no, we cannot give you that those results or something. If you want, go make your own. Becky was now prepared to organize state resources. To fight poverty and also to go to the core of the HIV.
But how come he you know I also have a reservation, especially when because it's Mbeki and there was one minister of health who was saying, "No, people must eat beetroot. This thing is not real," and all those things. And you are just asking yourself to say, how come an intellectual also of that level who almost fixed the whole African economy,
did you know the cause of HIV not have the knowledge of Africa? Don't have sovereign over those information, even if it is like this. Whose information is that? It's not ours. When he was now wanted to commit state resources now to fight poverty and also at the same time to do research on exactly to understand what is HIV from the point of view. Remember that Africa have the capacity because of those whites. So they politically now, they started now fighting Mbeki and they used the Malema and others to remove the city.
No, I hear you. So this whole concept now is it now, what do you think need to be done to before accepting this?
The medication is always, those donors, it's always been used to control, because they create the problem. They don't want to think about it. Now they give you the solution. Imagine like even today, in the reggae today, now even Namibia. It come to a certain level, and these guys are saying, no, we are not going to give ARVs. Because they donated for free. What is going to happen to the public? They are going to demonstrate, no. That's why here, you need to understand now international politics and economy. Then you need to read proper. That's why I say, if there is any country that you want to how to fight diplomacy through diplomacy. Also, you only need to learn from the Chinese.
The
American people.
No, they are on top of their game. I think.
Why? Because for them, they are using their own characteristics. Those characteristics, they are their own tradition.
They have their own perspective on everything.
Yeah. That's why when I was even using the example to say, look, for them, they don't evolve in the daily life of the people. The communist party, out of all those billion Chinese, you see, it does not even have 10 million members, maybe.
No, I think the main one is, I think, 100.
Yeah, but these people, they are the ones who control all those billions.
Yeah.
But for them, they are only concentrate on the state.
Okay, just hold on for 1 second, then we can conclude.
Democracy thrives through participation, and we all want a thriving democracy, don't we? Let's all contribute to a thriving democracy by being active participants and voting in the upcoming regional council and local authority elections on 26 November 2025. Let's play our part. Get involved. Put your voice in the box.
Let us sum up.
At the end of the day,
yeah,
donors have been always, when you go to those literatures about donors in Africa, my friend, it's always like that. It's used, it's a control tool.
So,
and also debt and foreign direct investment.
That's
why if you want to understand them, you must read the literature from the East.
You
want to understand how it works.
Yeah.
You read literature from the East, from the Russians, you read the Chinese.
Yeah.
They are going to tell you how.
But I also have a view that the way the East is dealing with the West, they also have their method, but they are not also giving us all the tools, because they have their own formula too. How they happen to survive all those?
Dara, let me tell you.
Yeah.
It's all, every nation, power nation, they are all, it's one thing.
Yeah.
It's hegemony.
Yeah.
And hegemony is a monopoly.
Yeah.
In other words.
Yeah.
You now hegemony or monopoly if you don't have protectionism.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter whether you are married to the East or to the what?
To the West.
To the West. Ne?
Mm-mm.
Because the agenda is one.
Control. Monopoly.
It's to control the monopoly. That's why you don't need to believe in capitalism or what.
You need to do your thing.
You just need to believe in your thing, because you are on tomorrow, 2 hours is humanity.
Yeah, yeah.
You need your own system. That's why Chinese say, no, we cannot take communism. We have to take it with it.
Yeah. It's not really pure, but we have to put our own thing also.
Because they have learned a lesson from communism.
Uh-huh.
But they also have knowledge, their own local knowledge. Now, the thing is now to say, this is how it works. You know, when the Chinese, when they give you scholarship, for instance, the Europeans.
Yeah.
They are going to teach you. They are also going to employ you there. Because if you are smart.
Yeah, yeah.
The Chinese, even if you are smart like that, they can train you, but they will never employ you.
Yeah.
You know why?
Mm.
Because they don't want you to copy.
Mm-hmm.
To replicate the system.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Russians, they will never employ you. Unless they go to Mokomi Italy.
Yeah. They send you to Ukraine. Yeah.
When the Western are giving you loans, they want to see whether you have democracy, their democracy, with their favors, or you accept human rights in minimum machine like that. That's what they want to see.
So again,
the Chinese, they don't care.
No, they have a very good foreign policy. I've seen it to say they don't interfere with internal affairs of.
Because for them, they don't type of system you have.
They have their own.
For them is to sit on the boat and agree to say, look,
let's do business.
Or Dwahara, we want this money.
Okay. Okay. Let's end it here. Then we can continue.
Yeah. So just to conclude, just to say, look, we need it's the same. We don't need to follow Kuchanwa. We follow what let's learn just one or two lessons. Then we know, because there is nothing what we don't know.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. We are looking at issues of economic development. We are touching on aid. But for now, let's look at before we go to what's on top of the Villager newspaper, that we are asking a question, especially regarding project management, project implementation, project evaluation, project analysis, and also we can compare what projects have we completed, what is the delay in terms of project implementations in Namibia. I was reading somewhere yesterday where the Minister of Transport, Works and Transport, was also very angry with one of the project leaders to say why is there a delay in accomplishing what is given to you. And there's a lot of explanation, actually. There's a lot of explanations to say, is there somebody benefiting from the delay of the project? Is there somebody benefiting from the delay of the project? Or are us Namibians not really good project managers? Why it takes so long? Look at this. You can go to your, your memory for the past 10 years. Look at your previous councillors, what he or she has promised you. There are still some villages where people have drawn lines to say, no, this is where the clinic is going to be. This is where the roads is going to be. This is where the new school is going to be. But has that started at what level? Because that is a question that we need to ask ourselves, to say, what is the delay? Is it the legal framework? Is it the people themselves, or the people who are given tenders are not the one, or who are given projects are not the one with skills? They are still going to give to somebody else to do work for them so that they can benefit from being middlemen. What are some of the challenges in completion of projects? And what content of project management are we giving to those who are leading projects? What do we look at apart from you having technical skills of doing a job? What other things are required? Because it's not correct. It's not right. Especially when you have a blueprint of Namibia housing scheme, of how many houses were supposed to be built. You had fund into those houses. But when it comes to the result, you are not seeing what is planned. Thank you to Eurobond and with Namibian Roads, I can say we have done something. And that one is something that maybe put us at number one in Africa, looking at the statistic of last year in terms of road infrastructure. But other projects, where are we standing? How is Havana hospital? Where is it standing? For how long it has been there? And it's not only the example of that. Because we can speak about school, we can speak about clinics. How many white elephant projects do we have in Namibia? How many buildings within your town were constructed and not done? And what is the challenge? Ask yourself that question to say, where are those money which were supposed to be used in that? Is it the funder? Is it the implementer? Is it the contractor? Or is it the legal framework? Or things are in court? Because, you can find also a project where things are standing, things are in court. Go to the records of Central Procurement Board and see. Go to the records. How many projects are incomplete? How many of them are in front of the court? Is it the legal framework, or is it the implementers? And we can only sort these things when we understand where the real problem is, and accelerate the infrastructure development, because it's not, human cannot develop without infrastructure. That is an unfortunate part of it. And infrastructure must be responding to time and the need of the people. And the other time I was at, Creative Industry Symposium by Bank of Namibia, where the musician by the name Big Ben, it's a household name, stated to say, when you want to do a rehearsal for a band, looking at town halls, cultural halls which were built, they are in a dilapidated state. You cannot put a sound system there. How many of them were renovated? How many new were built? How many were completed? At what pace? Because if you don't ask those questions, if you look around your village, how many people have underlined lines there to say, no, guys, we are going to move it from here to here. This is where we are going to build the borehole. This is where we are going to build a new clinic. This is where we are going to build the roads and all those things. How many of those things are completed? And how many standing? Look around your town and look at how many standing buildings do we have. Is the person who started the project the one who ended up completing the project? And what is the problem with that? Because if we are not addressing the issues of project management, not only from the site side, but from the legal to the funder, to those who are benefiting from that, we will never get where we want, because a project man is the one who does things. A project person is the one who builds houses. A project person is the one who completed houses on time and also complete roads on time. Clinics, technological infrastructure, network infrastructure, and many others. Because if we are not going deep into those conversations, we must forget about moving forward, because at any point in time where you want to develop, you need somebody who is well trained in project management and also somebody who can deliver on the project. Somebody must conduct a study to say, what is the impact of middlemen in project completion? What is the impact of middlemen in project completion in Namibia? A case study of Namibian housing scheme, or a case study of any other project. So the moment we come to that point and understand the real cause of standing or white elephant projects, then we'll understand where to go. But how do you do this? When the other time I gave an example to say Namibia is like a bus moving toward the destination called Vision 2030, where the driver is the head of the state, and the monitoring and evaluation tool is a mechanic who check at what pace are we moving. And the question has always been, do we have a right mechanic to evaluate the strength, the speed, the capacity, and also the, you know, the motion of the bus that is moving to 2030. Yes, some things have been done. Buildings have been completed. Were they completed by Namibians? Were they completed by Namibians? Can we comfortably, as Namibian, live in a public office completely completed from the ground by Namibian engineers, tender held by Namibian contractors at this point in time, 35 years after independence? It's an office building. Let's give an example of an Office of Public Service Commission. I remember when I attended one of the public commission meeting, and the chairperson stated that they still do not have an office where they are operating. Let us give an example to say Namibia at any point in time want to build an office for Public Service Commission. And how long is it going to take if you use 100% Namibians to build those buildings? You look in town, you look at Home Affairs building, very beautiful, shiny, and you can see that building in the next 200 years. Was it built by Namibians? Some Namibians were assistants there, who were maybe bricklayers, but the main project, who was handling that main project? Can we come to the point of saying we have capacity to stand on our own, or we are just subcontracting until now? So those are the questions that we should continue expanding. How many bridges were built by Namibian companies and they are still standing now? How many? Or they are creating like a dependency kind of theory to say, I built this bridge, when it's broken, you can call me again. But it's a conversation that should not only be a conversation of today. It should be a conversation that every engineer, every project manager must put in his or her mind when we speak about these things, because for you to build for the future of our kids and ourselves too, we need infrastructure. Let's look at the commercial break.
If you've reached that stage in life where you are tired of everything, where each day is just routine. Dah, yammer me oh. No, seriously, I am genuinely sorry for you. Cause you clearly haven't been polanified. Like, boring day at the spun. Polanify your lunch hour with a delicious Polana curry. Chewing through yet another stale sandwich. Polanify your burger with a little mac and cheese. Tired of chewing the same shandy? Polanify your munchies with air-fried Polana pasta chips. Come on, life's too short for boring. Polanify every moment with Pasta Polana, a proud product of Namib Mills.
Yeah, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. You can call back. Can call back at 083-288-401. Then you give your input. You're looking at project management, project implementation, and most importantly, project evaluation. Maybe you can also do a case study on the impact of project evaluation on Namibian developmental projects. Go to Central Procurement Board, look at evaluation reports, and also ask the questions to say what are the trends in delaying of projects? What is your evaluation report saying for the past 5 years? What new tool of evaluation? What recommendation do you give? What are you doing new in order to make sure that projects are completed on time, projects are implemented on time, and projects are of high quality, of high standard, and they met all standardized requirements so that Namibians or Namibia can build. Because it's only through infrastructure, which are enablers of us doing, participating effectively in economy of Namibia. So now let us look at the Villager newspaper. On top of the Villager newspaper, there is an article on international trade that is indicating that Uhangwena is advised to leverage gateway to Angola. It's an article on international trade an article by my colleague, Loise Shimi, is indicating that Angwena region entrepreneurs, the entrepreneurs in Angwena regions were advised to utilize the strategic advantage of, gateway to Angola in terms of trade and other partnership. Ambassador Selma Musavi, that is the Minister of International Relations and Trade, made this remark during the 14th business regional engagement held in Enana, Uhangwena. That was last Friday. And this is an advice to entrepreneur to say Angola is a strategic partner when it's coming to business and trade. And entrepreneurs must use that aspect, that region, or that country, or that border to make sure that they expand their trade, interest. It's quite very interesting, especially when you look at the geographical advantage, you look at the population of Angola, you look at the commonalities in terms of Angolan culture and the Namibian culture, you look at our history, and why can't we do business? Maybe it's an aspect of Namibians not prioritizing Angola, but what can we do to make sure that Angola is our number one partner when it's coming to trade? So that was the advice from the Minister of International Relations and Trade, Ambassador Ashipara, Ambassador Selma Ashipara Musavi. And for more information, read page 2, the Villager newspaper for today. Then you can get the context in terms of that. When you go to page 3 of the Villager newspaper, you can be able to look at well, it's a university application where you have application in the Faculty of Law, Commerce, and Education. You can get your diploma level 6 in legal study. That is diploma in law, diploma in legal studies. If you want to be a paralegal, if you want to be a legal researcher, if you want to work with lawyers, assisting lawyers in drafting their cases, and also go in the corridors of law, have a diploma in legal studies with Velvicia University, that is your level 6. You can also do your bachelor's of law, that is your LLB. If you want to be an advocate, one day you want to be a senior counsel, one day you want to be a magistrate, a prosecutor, a judge, chief justice, or a minister of justice, or maybe a judge at an international court, because if you have a dream, you can be able to achieve it. It's a matter of how you are planning and also what you are doing today and how the results are coming out. You can study law. You can study law with Velvicia University, Bachelor's of Law. Applications are still ongoing. And the other thing is also that you can also do a Bachelor's of Science in Project Management. We speak about White Elephant Project. We speak about incomplete projects. Maybe now is the time for you to be a best project manager. And you can only do that, not only through connections, but you can do that when you are experienced expert. An experienced expert who, studied project management with Velvicia University. That is an honors degree. In terms of supply chain management honors, you can also find them here at Velvicia University. And you also have a Bachelor's of Education in Senior Primary Education Honors, that is Mathematics and Science, grade 4 to 7. Bachelor's of Science in Secondary Education Honors, Mathematics and Science, grade 8 to 12. Application fee, 230 Namibian dollars. And the deadline is 30th of November, 2025. Make sure that, you apply and get quality education with Velvicia University. Yeah, there is also this is an article by my colleague Anakreta Ikela on the Minister of ICT, or that the Minister of ICT, that is Matthew Fellas. On Monday, said operators must now provide minimum download speed of 25 megabytes per second across the country. It's an attempt of increasing connectivity and fast accessibility of network. So that is page of the Villager newspaper. And looking at the statistics and development, it's an article by Dwight Links, which is showing strong third quarter in 2025 for hospitality sector. Look at the third quarter of 2025 and how hospitality sector in Namibia has been performing. And yeah, there's an article on Chopis Namibia, where they are working together with the International University of Management, Trifat College, to train graduates. Graduate development programs are one of the very important aspects, especially when it's coming to skill development. And you can get that full story at page 6 of the Villager newspaper. It's an article by HD. And get your context. If you're a student in those stated institutions, you can also be able to look and read at that assistance, and also how institutions are partnering with academia to make sure that the students are trained, they are capacitated, and they become useful. Because if you have entry, what is very difficult for most of young people in Namibia is entry level skills, how to get to the field, how to get to the industry. That's why it's very difficult for many Namibians to get entry level, but with a graduate development program is one of the way that Namibians can also assist. So there is an opinion article on Africa Data Revolution Must Drive Climate Finance Transparency. Get that conversation, and you can also listen to IUM Ongwediva campus final year students, what they have to say. Then you have a sale. It's almost December. December is coming, and look at your save and their sales. You can get that at page 9, and also page 10 of the Villager newspaper. So let's look at the caller. Good morning, sir. Good morning.
John, I just want to comment maybe 2 minutes on the project manager.
Okay.
On the issue of the white elephant project, that one is just a mathematical. When you appoint somebody, you cannot fire.
Come again?
You know, when you appoint somebody, you cannot fire. No, it's all of it. Ne? Because you know this person cannot deliver and you cannot do nothing and he's going to tender. Is that culture of entitlement now? That we have.
Okay.
You see, the biggest worry I have in this country is the standard of building, like that we are building. Take former State Minister of Namibian Police, right? The Department of Police, the new building.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Is it a hotel or what?
the headquarter.
The headquarter of police. Do you think if one has seen that building, is that a public institution building? It's like a hotel.
No, I've seen it. It's very beautiful. Yeah.
Because this building were built with somebody's mind that after the 10 years or 20 years, like, you are going to come back because UTS have over to Rakomba that they are going to fall off. Then you still have to go back to those people to come back. Mara, if you are in Vindic, then you go to the new Bengu window, Tungwanda, Tungwaja Bengu window. Tungwaja boxing way. Samende Ikea to Rob Vinya. Go up to Taraninga American Embassy, they just box that building. There's no nothing fancy there, or Samende Ikea, no me and my mind. What they are going to put there, or Makenda Ikea. Take the building, for instance, of the Namibian Bank of Namibia.
Nothing fancy, yeah.
There's nothing fancy there.
I want to ask, because I did not come long time ago. That building, when was it built? Is it?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because even if you go to the old building, even the old like, police headquarters. Just look at how it was built.
Nothing fancy.
But
it's sustainable, that one.
It's sustainable. Locally. Because those buildings, they were built with materials that are not from here. And these guys, they knew. After, you know the concept of the Chinese where they build, when they are producing things, you need to come back tomorrow. Now they have to put a strategy for you to come back. So that they continue to be part of it. And that is what you need to understand now from these two schools of thought, public and private. When the public, you are bidding for the public, want to sustain things to be there so that they go to the next thing. Private, they want you to come back tomorrow. Say the same thing again. You must come back. China, no washing. When you wash, you have to go back to the store. So, that's why you need to see those two concepts. Those two buildings.
You gave a good example, because when the private sector is building their building, they are also planning to save money in the future.
Yes. That's why if you see the money which go in the police headquarter and also in that building of Home Affairs.
But it's Home Affairs, not on standard. I think it's
They were put here Sakomba Dago. Those are tears on top.
Oh, they are not stones. But it's not sustainable, it's not long term.
That's what I'm saying. Gang wali moving the price of those tears. Can't you, it will be different there. You see? It will be different. Now it's when you policy or just like or hotel.
No,
we don't need fancy public building. No,
We need to sustain them.
There's nothing there. And you are still putting
those. Okay, just hold on, then we can conclude because Mike will come in. Just hold on for a bit.
If you lost your show, all of Taliko Tungupo. Oma wa o tomono okujako NHP. Genge wa longi fa longi foli lipedu lo wa wo haku. Olo halipiti kwa efiku ne fiku. Mefiloshi shelo haku oye. Owa washimali wa oshosha kupako. Washika we delwa komto alando lako. Kashi, koma punglo e na shano unjolo welewe. Otodulu okulongi fa oma wa oye. Wa hupuko, opouna miti toshiningi momikalo dihapunga ashi. Okufuti lapo oimali wa ishona. Oyo hodulu okupolwa. Ulifutila ove mwene, omaya kulo olu hapu, haka laina kwa telwa, mowa we kwa folo elo unamiti. Ile, oto julu no kuli, okupitifapo e mwene didonumba, toka laino futa ea kulo lo elo unamiti. Kowyalele uhapu, talela po nhp.com.na. Ema ngono malandola fwano ododi na okulandulwa. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Yes, 2 seconds before we give the mic to the big mic.
That also worried on the project management and bidding when it comes to public bidding, the standard of the school that you are bidding this year, this nowadays.
Mm.
They are far, 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 far from the standard of the school that we're bidding those years. Just even the Eros private school there.
Yeah.
Look at school. They have all the sports facilities and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes they even try to put the upstairs like that. Take the Agustinium. Those were the standards of the school that will be those years. Take even the Emmanuel Shikindi. It's the same. The standards the people were pushing.
Yeah.
Now, look at the school that you are building today. On the issue of sport and education facility.
Yeah.
Or hall, or school hall.
Mm-hmm.
It's not there.
No, I hear you. So let's continue the conversation before we dive into Mike's and nerves.
We just need to agree to have a standard to say there could be no a public school to be built without specifications.
Yes.
No, that's not cool.
Yes. We ran out of time. Ne? Time.
Yeah. When we beat them, we don't need fancy things for the public.
Yeah.
Because we need to save money to beat another thing. No fancy there.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Let's give the mic to Mike to unpack the day. We thank all the caller and the contribution, especially an issue of public infrastructure, project management. To say we need standard. We need the standard for long term and also local sustainability. And giving an example to say a public institution looking like a hotel, you must differentiate. It's really a very fancy, it's a fancy building. But I did not think that the way. But it's also for us to look at to say, is this something that can stand for the next 50 years? How much of maintenance is going to be costing? So, from me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now and see you around.